Yeah, it's ringing.
God, and I'm a writer.
Is that that ringing?
Yeah. I'm ringing now, somebody else that's ringing.
Oh, God, they're not even picking up their drunk dial.
It's an answering machine.
Wait, like they still have those?
Welcome to the Beer Valentine Machine drunk dial hotline. Leave a message after the beep, and if it's good enough feedback, we'll put it on the show. Thanks. Hey Mikey, we know that you couldn't be here for our 100th podcast, so we here at the Guardians of Geekery are all drunk, and we all wanted to dial you and say hello. So everybody say hi Mikey. Hi Mikey. Talk to you later. Bye. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Push the damn button.
So everybody, hold it up. Everybody say it.
Carol, push the button.
Where's my button?
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children.
Did you go to the game yesterday?
Gas bags
Yeah, I did.
Hey,
you know,
Guardians
this is done,
of the Bakery.
Yeah,
guys. Every week, you do this to me.
What's that?
I am in Charlotte virtually every week,
right,
to do this introduction for you guys, and you're always talking over me. Can we just for this one auspicious occasion? Can I do my thing? Is that all right?
Guys, let's let Chris have a shot at it. We won't talk this one time.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, Chris. We really didn't notice you came up every week. Sorry about that.
Push the damn button.
Welcome to the 100th episode of Guardians of the Geekery, live from Kickstand Burgers and Bar in beautiful downtown Charlotte, North Carolina. Tonight's special guest stars include Danny Sievers, Ian Kaiser, Patrick Barnhart, from We Geek Girls, Candace Carpenter, Just One Calls, Wanda Harward, for foreign exchange students everywhere, Kim Wunderlich Katie. Musical guest, Corey Kamori. From Abubica Gaming, Ryan Graham. Jim Ryan. Yes, that Jim Ryan. From Robot Johnson Sketch Comedy, Candace Cortinas. Matthew Shantz. Matthew McClellan. Tiffany Apple. And straight from the Geek Dollar Garage, Phil Gantin!
Who let him out?
Authors, Darren Kennedy. Jay Reckward. Misty Massey. And John Hartness. From Lucky 13, Doctor Who, John Bondaro. Garrett Mooneyham. Podcasters, Daryl Mansell. Chuck Cart. And Jay Feuerbach. From the Something Clever Band, Adam Nelson. That Typecast, Judy and Randall Chu. From Game Breaks, Omega Sparks and Swatch. I'm your announcer, Chris Jones, and now introducing our hosts, Carol the Cat. Nicholas Tannenbaum. Matt the Starns Lord. And the Giddy Geeker. We proudly welcome you to Guardians of the Geekery.
Okay, so we're done recording now, right? That was 2 hours.
I'm fucking exhausted. Damn. All you fuckers who are on this podcast? This is crazy.
Guys.
Oh, yeah, what's happening?
I wrote a poem.
Why?
Oh.
Because it was really early in the morning and I couldn't sleep in this
Matt, didn't we tell you to keep her away from the computer and pens?
I did. I have to keep track of field. Out. I mean, it's too much.
Oh, wait, you're doing that now?
So much fresh air.
All right, so without further ado, my poem.
Yes.
We welcome you to our 100th Geekery from Guardians and look back for a moment at our past Shenardians. From robots with Johnsons to horrors most rocky, thirsty nomads on tangents who like to diss jockeys, with mad kestrels, bubbas, and snakes, smoky griefer, riddles and daughters and zombies who be there. From Gallifrey's coast to Sanctuary Bay, we're delighted to be here, we're lucky 13 to say, We know what we drank. We did it with big glee. We know something's clever. Just ask Chucky Cardi. It rhymes. We podcasted Atomicon, Con Carolinas, and StormCon, altered IDs, wolfed Valentines, and mic'd Masons. We found out that Charlotte is sometimes quite sketchy with mage warriors, bullfrogs, and shares cosplay, so fetching. We've hosted Manticorians, kilted chefs, and a liar. Dudes who reviewed and geek girls who inspire. We got academic at Mythgard and comic with Carrie. We meditated with Jessica and allianced with Harry. Spoke house is quite tiny and derbies must roly. Murdered some fools and practiced some yogi. We memoired some mocha with podcasting is rich and spoke abubica with almost nary a hitch. Daryl took us to Pineville. Man Scout was hardly a stranger. We cipher casted just one call if we were in danger. Went rogue at getting dead, then went to Abari. Told tales with Kamori and hosted kids from Safari. Game breaks gave us some rhythm. Heroes gave us the drum. We were pursued by a bear, which made us all run. With iron and blood, we met that Jim Ryan. And now I am done, so please stop your crying. All right, so we're going to get ready to have a reading from Darren Kennedy.
Wow, we're just going right into it.
Yep, Jay Ricard, and the song from Corey Kimori. So we'll be right back.
No.
Yes. Okay, are we good? Are we on? Are we going?
And we're with Darren Kennedy.
Hello.
Hello. So Darren, who is one of our author guests, is going to do a small reading for us, and then we're going to ask what's net new on the horizon for you.
Oh, cool. So I picked chapter 3 from a book that's coming out from Curiosity Quills. It's the sequel to the Mussorgsky Riddle. This is the Stravinsky Intrigue, chapter 3. Go.
Go. Go for it. Talk towards this way.
Speak into the droid.
It's not the droid you're looking for.
I feel like Princess Leia and the...
It's recording now.
You'll give us the information, Princess.
Aaron feels like Princess Leia. I was
like, well, you get some like needles and stuff.
Is that why you wore the slave outfit?
Alright. Chapter 3, The Enchanted Garden. The only similarity to the last time is the sensation of falling. Everything else is different. The rainbow maelstrom of Anthony Faircloth's fractured mind, filled with blaring music and booming percussion, seems almost pleasant compared to the impenetrable darkness of this place. Not a glimmer of light intrudes as those six notes continue to cycle for what seems forever. I attempt to check for the familiar presence of the Sultan's dagger at my waist, but I have no hand with which to reach and no body to examine. I try to scream, but no sound comes. I am a wraith, alone in the darkness, directionless, formless, hopeless. Left with nothing but my own silent thoughts for companionship, I succumb momentarily to the panic rising in me. The missing girl may be the catalyst, but only one person I've encountered in all my years on this planet has such power in the world of dream, and only he would wield it with such orchestral accompaniment. Why would he do such a thing? On the other hand, the son of William and Caroline Faircloth had no intention of hurting me last time, and we saw how that turned out. Bringing every iota of willpower I can muster to bear, I try again to speak, to say the one name that might free me from my dark prison. Though in this place I have no mouth, throat, or lungs, eventually a single word fills the darkness, a whisper, my voice, and yet not my voice. Anthony. Like the curtain rising on a play, the darkness retreats, leaving me stranded once again, a stranger in a strange land. A twilight garden forms around me. Emerging first from the mist is a tree of brass-colored bark, twice my height and curved so its canopy shades a flat sitting rock. Golden fruit hangs from its branches, each glistening apple more perfect than the next. Atop the rock and beneath the shade of the tree, Hannah Abrams lies trembling uncontrollably as if sleeping through the most horrible of nightmares. Her brow furrowed, a low whimper passes her lips with every breath. What is it she's so afraid of? I'm not left wondering for long. As the bizarre garden continues to expand and overtake the darkness, the thing that has left Hannah so terrified rears its ugly head from the edge of a stagnant pool. The size of a full-grown Rottweiler and twice as broad, the toad-like creature with gnarled horns and yellow eyes drags its six-legged form from the muddy water. Slime-covered lips pull back from a double row of jagged teeth. I silently thank my unseen host for leaving me an invisible wraith. That is, until one of the creature's slit-like yellow eyes turns to gape at me. A quick glance down confirms my worst fears. Suddenly embodied, my form is again covered in green, though gone is Scheherazade's sarong, replaced with a finely tailored tunic with pearl and gold accents, and embroidered pantaloons tucked into knee-high black boots. Black bracers decorated with inlaid gold in the shape of treble clefs guard my forearms. Somewhere in the distance, the high-pitched violin of Scheherazade's theme echoes through the trees. No doubt about it, this is Anthony's doing. And if this is indeed Anthony, the danger is very real. In an instant, the thing from the pool leaps at me, and I'm paralyzed by its rage-filled bellow. Barely able to get my feet to move, I dodge to one side and land in the spongy blue grass of this peculiar garden. Remembering painful lessons from the exhibition, I search this new body for weapons, but find nothing. The toad thing wastes no time, lowering its gnarled horns and rushing at me with all the speed its six legs can muster. Praying my abilities as the storyteller somehow apply in this new dreamscape, I hold up my hand and cry for the Sultan's dagger. With a flash of golden light, a weapon materializes, but this is no dagger. In my palm rests a recurved bow, intricately carved and well-worn. A moment later, the weight of a full quiver hits my shoulder. With instincts I would never possess in the real world, I roll to one side, narrowly avoiding being impaled in the creature's horns, and then leap back to my feet with an arrow knocked and trained in the thing's head. "I don't know if you can understand me, creature," I shout, "but stand down or I will slay you where you stand." Another bellow and the thing rushes at me again. I let the arrow fly, but the razor tip ricochets off the creature's horn. I leap to one side, spinning again from the monster's path, but the thing shifts its head at the last second and extends its squat neck. A searing pain rips through my side as the tip of its curved horn tears into my side. I pull myself back to my feet and turn to face the creature, drawing another arrow, knocking it, and leveling the bow with the thing's midsection in one fluid movement. The fletching soft against my cheek, I do my best to appear strong and confident, but cannot suppress a shudder as the thing's tongue shoots up its gnarled horn to lap at the blood in its jagged tip. I chance a glance down and find a quickly spreading pool of deep crimson standing over the tunic. One fact is certain, I will not survive many blows like that. Woo!
And the name of that?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Darren, and that was from?
That's from the Stravinsky Intrigue, which is the sequel to the Mussorgsky riddle. And as you can see, Mira is not, in fact, out of danger from book one.
No, obviously not. And where can we find you on the interwebs, and when is the new book coming out?
So the Stravinsky Intrigue will come out in February, and Curiosity Quills has also already bought the Tchaikovsky finale, which will be the third part. Mm. So Stravinsky will be out in February 2017, and Tchaikovsky will be out in November 2017, which means I have 25,000 words to go on book three.
Wow!
Coming right along.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for that excerpt. And where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at DarrenKennedy.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And
Darren spelled D-A-R-I-N.
Yeah, DarrenKennedy.com.
Woo! Thank you. Okay, and next up we have Jay Ricquard.
Oh, shit, now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going right into it. So,
I'm going to read from Thief of Secrets, Monway the Panther, Volume 2. Just going to read a couple paragraphs. It'll be coming out soon. Some point, John, help me.
John.
Never mind.
John's playing Pokemon Go.
Stops around here.
I'm going to set it up real quick for the audience out there. So the story follows Monway the Panther, who's this very famous thief in this kind of frontier city called Tolivius, and he is facing off against this kind of legendary warrior from another land named the Latian Lion. Mm. So I'll get started here. The Latian Lion pulled his chariot into the first clearing past the forest perimeter, his horse dragging to a heavy stop. The hawking warrior removed his helmet to let his honey brown hair free. And as he stepped off the back of the frame of his chariot, he displayed the sword in his hand, its short blade heavy and curved. He walked toward the meadow's mossy center, favoring his left leg with a heavy but tender step. Carly spied from between the massive trees, hidden from sight. A long spear rested across his enemy's lap, its length a promise he had made long before dawn. If Monway fell, it would be his turn next. The Latian Lion spoke out loud, his voice a boom of a god made flesh. "Come out, thief!" He loosened his sword arm, swinging his blade in wide arcs. Let's see if your miserable race has a better honor than the Gypians. There will be no worries here. Perched on the tree directly above the Latian, Monway stood with an easy pose. His curved knife glittered in the sunrise ray that pierced through the heavy canopy as the wind seeped through the leaves. The Latian, his one eye squinted from a scab on his eyebrow, smiled wide and showed his clean teeth. He took a few steps back and presented the battlefield, a mock invitation. Monway leapt from the high place, landing on the soft black soil with nary a sound. He scampered back on all fours, hands and feet patting the ground in rapid succession. The Latian lion stalked after him, a grim grin on his shaved face as he laughed. He cut off angles by stepping to the right and left, cornering the thief into one of the trees. Pivoting on one foot, Monway pressed the other man against the trunk of the Oroko, throwing himself forward like a dart. His entire body zipped past the Latian's ill-timed slash, and with a quick cut, he sliced at the larger man's elbow, opening a shallow wound. Monway came up on his feet and leaned away from the Latian's next heavy blow. The two traded attacks, their iron parrying and deflecting away the points of their weapons. The armored warrior fared better in the exchange and shoved the thief, forcing him backward. "I like chasing you, boy," the Latian lion bellowed. And I'll stop right there. That's from Thief of Secrets, Monway the Panther, Volume 2, from Falstaff Books.
Okay, and where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at www.sitrightbleed.blogspot.com. You can also find my publishing company at www.falstaff.com. It's also John's company and Darren's.
Falstaff, like the character from
Falstaff
Shakespeare.
Falstaff Books.
Falstaff Books.
So we won't be finding you on the internet.
All right, in a little bit, I'll come up and read it, and I'll give you a regular.
And Sit Right Bleed is right as in W-R-I-T.
Yes.
Not right.
All right, okay. And for our final guest of this
segment. We have Corey Komori, who is the lead singer for Komori and Territor. Now we are going to be listening to your song. And what song are we going to be listening to?
We will be listening to Ethereal 3, Dusk, off of Komori's debut album, Ethereal.
Okay. Right. Hit the button, Matt.
It's going to be me screaming a lot.
Good call.
Why do
Music is Territorn. Is it different than Kamori?
Territorn would be classified as like stoner rock, so it kind of has a little bit of like a traditional heavy metal influence, kind of like Black Sabbath type of thing.
Awesome. And when are you gigging next?
Kamori will be playing at the Milestone Club on September 17th with a band called If These Trees Could Talk, and they are an instrumental metal band. So it should be a really good time.
And please go see the show. Please save the Milestone.
Yes, yeah, save the Milestone.
It's one of the few musical venues that's independent that we have left in Charlotte. Please go save the Milestone.
We're losing Amos's next year, so let's keep one around,
please. Keep just one around.
At least one.
And where can we find you on the internet?
A couple of places. If you want to check out Kamori, you can go to facebook.com/KamoriBand. You can do the same for Territorn, just facebook.com/TerratornBand. And since being on your guys' podcast, you guys have given me the fucking podcast itch. So now I also have a podcast.
Oh!
Oh. Myself and my bandmates in Kamori just started doing a music-based podcast called Don't Hassle Me, I'm Local, Street Level Music Discussion. If you want to check that shit out, you can check it out on YouTube, or you can check it out on SoundCloud. So, yeah.
Nice. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and we're back. So now we have 13th Floor EFX.
Ambient Noise.
BFX, yeah. So John and Garrett, and they brought with us them to this thing. Yeah, I'm happy
you guys
for my
it?
Beer.
Thank God.
Yeah.
No. Half a beer and there's
really
you go.
Worried.
Half a beer and I'm gone.
We became completely unprepared. Glad you guys brought it.
We brought clips for you. Okay. Yeah. You've seen Full House before. It's excellent.
And roll that clip.
So you've been doing a Doctor Who episodes. You've got two now? Or one and a second one?
One and a bunch of mini ones. And we're processing we're in the process of making the same. Yeah, shut up.
So you had more beer than I've had.
No, I haven't really. I'm
more shots than you had.
But you brought with you your virtual reality machine.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. I know you premiered it at Con Carolinas, and you're working on some different versions.
Yes, we are. So it's basically, we have a headset. John ordered a headset online. And it's basically set up where you can just put your phone in and watch the episode. It's about a 5-minute short. It puts you in the TARDIS, and it actually, you can look all the way around. It's got stuff going all over the place. Basically, there's some kind of emergency, and we need your help to fix it.
And it's actually interactive, although I didn't give a shit. I was just looking all around.
Thank you for your support.
In fact, you actually put me off on the TARDIS, because I play the Doctor. Garrett is my useless companion.
Yeah.
He does useless stuff. That was a horrible description.
I didn't think it was.
I love you.
It was horrible. It's the worst description of the
Well, you gave me the what?
I know. I wanted you to fail.
Okay.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, a little later, John will have the set so you can put it on.
Yes, you should try my set. I'll put it on your head. It's fine.
That sounds terrible.
I think we should tell somebody else to do
this. Don't walk up to John Dondero and ask him to put stuff on your head.
No, definitely
not
you should.
Safe.
Yeah, it's always a safe bet that I'll have something awesome to put on your head. 9 times out of 10, it will be VR. That 10th one,
you'll need.
Well, you have a good story afterwards.
And
I have something on my chin, unfortunately.
So you're currently working. You have the Doctor Who VR set up, and you're currently working on some others.
We are currently working on a Star Wars one. We have worked on some other fandom ones. We're toying with Star Trek because we're big geeks. We like everything. We're not, you know, even though I play the Doctor and he plays a fan, you know, Doctor Who Lucky 13, youtube.com/13FloriaFX to find it.
Can you repeat that again slower?
Yeah. And say it the proper way, because you got to stutter a little
bit.
You do it. No, you go ahead. I did it wrong last time.
Somebody say it.
YouTube.com/13FloorEFX to find the episodes for Doctor Who Lucky 13. We love all fandom, so we want to do a Firefly one. We want to do a Star Wars one. Our next one we're working on is a Star Wars one. It's going to take us quite some time, because it's probably going to be the largest thing we've ever produced as far as a 5-minute short that's VR.
But it's literally... just you pop it over your head and you start walking around.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous.
360 degrees.
Any direction.
Everywhere you look, it's real time.
There's stuff going on everywhere. Like the main action's in front of you, there's stuff going on behind you.
I'm one of those people who is, I want to make it as immersive as possible. So there are Easter eggs in everything we do. We did a Magic School Bus one at Toro Solar System. And there's a TARDIS and an Enterprise in there, but it's not where the main action is. So you have to know to look all the way around you to find just a little TARDIS floating in space, and then the Enterprise pops up at some point now. And we do that in everything we do. I think Doctor Who one has about 2 Easter eggs. We're never going to tell you what they are, because we want you to watch it and try to figure it out yourself.
And the rubber ducks. We can't tell the rubber ducks.
They're rubber ducks, yeah.
Everything we do.
Everything.
All right, and one more time, how can we find you on the interwebs?
Your turn.
YouTube.com/13FloorEFX. And then Facebook.com/13FloorEFX.
Well, listen, if you just Google 13th Floor EFX,
you'll find us.
Or Dondero is a magnificent person.
No, you won't find anything. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Guardians of the Geekery 100th podcast celebration live from the kickstand. Let's hear everybody. Or as live as a podcast can be, I suppose. So I wrote this silly little story for Tangents Magazine. And the story is Pat and Me. And it's my adventure I had with Pat McQuarrie going around. Yeah. So it's all kind of fun things. But so what Joey, the Giddy Geeker, did is she turned that into a radio play with some kind of technology I don't understand. And we have Robot Johnson. They drew the short stick. They have to bring this thing to life, which I'm not sure how they're going to do. But I think we'll just go down the table. Nobody can see me on an audio podcast, but I'm going to go to my left and just tell us who you are and what role you're going to play in this exciting epic tale.
Oh, okay, great. My name is Matt Chance, and I will be playing the role of Matt Starnswalker. Yes.
My name is Field Canty, and I will be playing the role of the genital-obsessed Pat McCrory.
That's for you, not the character.
I mean, I'm curious about bathrooms, too.
Yeah, be careful. That's good. That's great. I'm Matt McClellan, and I will be the narrator.
Woo! Narration!
I'm Tiffany Apple. I will be the very valued McDonald's worker.
Very
valued.
She's loving it.
I am Candace Cortinas. I am going to be the Chuck E. Cheese manager, also known as a no-nonsense type. So it's out of my wheelhouse, guys.
It's a big stretch.
Against
big
type.
It's a stretch.
All right.
It's a dark time for the South. Although same-sex marriage is legal, the North Carolina State Senate have driven the LGBT citizens from their counties and pursued them across the state. Evading the dreaded HB2, a group of freedom urinators, led by Matt Starnswalker, has established a new secret base in the remote Queen City of Charlotte. The evil Lord McCrory, obsessed with finding young Starnswalker, has gotten a perm, cut off his genitals, and burned his birth certificate in an attempt to disguise himself as gender-neutral Pat.
My NC Senate drone was right. Starnswalker's shopping here. Now to befriend him with alcohol so we'll give up the secret location of the urinator's base.
Pat, what's up with the perm?
Who's Pat? Let's get a drink, Broham. Let's get a drink. I'm cool.
Okay, lead the way.
Pat slapped Starnswalker on the back and led him into a nearby entrance. He marveled at the colorful lights and video games for a few minutes until Pat appeared with two beers. Suddenly, Starnswalker became uncomfortable as Pat steered him into a room with a robotic rat wearing skinny jeans and playing an electric guitar.
What the? Pat, we're at Chuck E. Cheese's. It's 11:05 a.m. in the morning on a Tuesday.
Next round's on me, Matthew.
No shit. Oh. Let's take off, Pat, before someone's rugrats show up.
I need to pee, Matt. Mm.
Pat started walking towards the men's room when the manager approached.
Not so fast. I need to see your birth certificate.
I don't have my birth certificate. Look, I'll go in the women's room. No one's here, so...
Sorry, no birth certificate, no tinkle. That's the law. Plus, you have blood all over your khakis.
No way to call son.
Come on, Pat. We don't want any trouble here.
The two walked and waddled across the parking lot to McDonald's. Pat bolted toward the restrooms.
Excuse me. Backies are for customers only.
Fine. Just give me some French and fries.
Birth certificate, please? Ma'am, sir?
Please, I purchased your French fries.
Pat, let's go next door to Jack in the Box.
Okay, but I'm about to re-mess my ruinated dungarees, Matthew.
The two faced the same scenario at Jack in the Box and even Harris Teeter. The law is the law, after all.
Matt, I just thought if I disguised myself as a gender-neutral North Carolinian, I could show everyone HB2 is no big deal. I hope to trick you into divulging the location of the urinator's secret base.
Oh, Pat. Everyone knew it was you, so they were giving you a taste of your own medicine. Let's jump in this lift, and I'll take you to a place where you can go to the bathroom even without a birth certificate.
Oh, thank goodness.
The pair arrived at Abari Game Bar. Pat hesitated at the restrooms. Each of the two doors had both the male, female, and handicapped symbol.
Shh. It means anyone can use either bathroom, Pat.
Pat ran in and came out several minutes later, looking refreshed.
So, now do you see why HB2 is so idiotic? And North Carolina's lost millions of dollars besides hurting residents who just want to be comfortable and use the bathroom?
Screw that, Starnswalker! I'm gonna go get another birth certificate and make sure HB2 extends to all bathrooms and businesses statewide. Scrumptious!
No, stop. Don't. No. Stop. Please.
Pat passed out from excessive genital bleeding. An Abari bouncer helped Starnswalker dump Pat in an Uber with instructions to drop him at the nearest sanitarium.
I'll have a Boilermaker, please. Started drinking at a kiddie arcade. Now I'm gonna finish at an adult arcade. Keep them coming, barkeep. Keep them coming.
Thank you, guys. Take a bow. I feel like you put a little too
Robot
much into
that. Johnson can be found on yes. Facebook at Robot Johnson Sketch Comedy, on Twitter at Robot Johnson, yeah. on Instagram at Robot Johnson Comedy. And our next show is going to be October 7th at the Rabbit Hole, and we will be early, and following us will be live band karaoke. So October 7th at the Rabbit Hole.
And you can find Field in our garage.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Take him back there right now.
So that's right.
He'll be groaning a lot.
Fresh sponges.
Are we live?
All right, we live?
Sure.
We're live. Yeah. We're in our wall. All right, so finishing up part one is no less, but certainly not least, Adam Nelson from Something Clever. I think the song we're going to listen to is
Best Laid Plans.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. So appreciate you guys coming in here to play it live. And just count it down, whatever you guys need.
Yeah, it was kind of hard getting the trailer through the door. But. Yeah.
I want you to really explore the space. The space. Okay.
More than you got to see it all derailed.
attack it like a sales.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
So, that is off which album?
This is off of our EP, Season of Darkness.
And you guys have been mad touring lately.
Yeah, we've been Weekend Warriors lately. We kind of kicked it off with the Carolina Rebellion, and then just kept going every weekend since then.
So where's the next couple places we can try to catch you?
I don't know if we've got our next Charlotte date booked. It'll probably be CleverCon. I think our next show is actually in West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
For a flood relief effort.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, and where can we find you online?
You can just Google something clever and we'll definitely pop up. We got that search engine optimization going on. Or you can just go to somethingcleverband.com and all of our other social media links are on there.
Awesome. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So that wraps up part A of our podcast. Stay tuned for part B.
Woo! Woo! Yay!